And I take that advice. Be good trouble. Necessary trouble. And help America redeem itself. In the context of Barbados, I say to him, I intend to be good trouble. Necessary trouble. And help Barbados redeem its soul.
Were there specific policies that you did not agree with?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Last year during the budget debate, my speech, I think, this is not to be immodest, stood out for its criticism, deep criticism of government, in terms of sending home some of the most vulnerable people in Barbados. When those people received those jobs, I praised the government. But here was a government sacrificing the interests of the most vulnerable. And here was a government enfranchising a large cadre of Barbadians called consultants who live well, who eat well, who sleep well. And we were condemning the poorest and the most vulnerable people into greater adversity. There was the other question, and I kept silent on it. There was the other question of subjecting our children, our innocent children, who we took to school, to a survey which amounted to a grievous invasion of their privacy. And on the subject of education, and that was wrong. That was legally and constitutionally and morally wrong. It should not have happened. I want to tell you this, that if I had remained in the government and the government had brought the proposal for its educational reform to that parliament, I would have physically got up from my seat and walked to the other side to express my objection to the dismantling of an education system which has brought democracy and justice to this country. I am opposed to it, I remain opposed to it, and I will speak at length on it if and when it comes. I have the freedom of the opposition bench to represent the voice of all of those people in this country who have benefited from that system, and all of our children who stand ready to benefit from a continuation of a system that needs reform. It needs curricular reform. I do not believe it needs structural reform. That education system that we know so well has built this country. And when I say built this country, I'm not talking about roads and buildings. I'm talking about the lives of people. The lives of people. You drive any part of Barbados now. If you bring a man back to Barbados who left this country in 1955, he will not recognize it. And the reason he will not recognize it is because our educational system has reshaped this country. And I want to say to this government that the effort and the attempt to dismantle that is an attack on the people of Barbados. Those are just examples of the differences that I hold with the government's policies. There are others. And I want to say to you as well that a lot of the legislation that is coming before the parliament, a lot of it, you will find these days that people are objecting to it. And sometimes people are not objecting to it necessarily for its content, because the entire content of legislation cannot be without virtue. There are some portions of it that are virtuous. But I want to say to the government that the reason that people are objecting so violently, when I say violently, I don't mean physically, is that the government has lost the trust of people. And that is why you find the objection. It is almost instinctive. People are instinctively opposing the government in the public domain in terms of the legislation that it is bringing to Parliament from week to week, including tomorrow. And hopefully you'll hear me tomorrow. And when you hear me in Parliament, I want to assure you that you will hear objectivity. You're not going to hear personal attacks, because I believe that the time has come when politics in this country must elevate itself beyond personal attacks. Personal attacks are part of cheap theater. That is what it is about. But when cheap theater ends, the real life of people must resume. And we sit in there and we stand and throw barbs at each other. And we find it amusing. It is not amusing. The business of the people in this country is never amusing. There's hardship, there's suffering, there's anxiety. There's the question of inflation, runaway inflation. And as parliamentarians, as legislators, as conscientious citizens of this country who occupy the privileged position of representation, we must find ourselves taking the business of Parliament seriously, and not only the business of Parliament, but the business of people seriously. It's an honor to be there. We have a duty, not to ourselves, but a duty to the people of this country to ensure that democracy and justice must be retained in this country. And on the issue of democracy and justice, I am convinced, I know that democracy in this country is under threat. There has been an erosion of our democratic traditions in this country. People are afraid to speak. The responses that I've received over the last 48, 72 hours indicate that to me. People are saying to me, they are glad that I have taken this position. Democracy has been under threat in Parliament because Parliament has become a place of unanimity, even against the interests of the people. I could not continue to be a part of that unanimous expression in favor of government's policy when the people of this country have their interests at risk.
In terms of the way forward, your plans for the way forward,
yes.
Have you selected senators already? Is there any plans to, let's say, remain independent or align yourself with an existing party? Just give us an idea, a snippet of your plan.
First of all, the question of senators, that matter is before the office of the president. And please, according to my earlier principle, let that matter remain on sacred ground until whoever the senators are do what I did this morning, have themselves sworn in, I beg your pardon,
okay,
to assume public office. The future, the other future, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. From the time I was 4 or 5 years old, I was in Sunday school and I was hearing that. For me, it is not poetry. For me, it is life. And if you read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it is about trust. It is about humility. It is about accepting the majesty of God if you believe in him. And it is about faith. And I want to say this to you. The last week, 2 weeks, have been extremely stressful for me. I will admit this to you. Of course, you ask yourself, are you doing the right thing? This morning and prior to this morning, I know that I'm doing the right thing. I've had a lot of calls from strangers and from friends who assisted me in making the decision. Of course, I discussed it with my family. And my family is with me on it. But I quoted Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. And I spoke of God directing my path. Now, I don't come to you as a devout Christian. I come to you as a child who had a Christian upbringing. And I have no intention of departing from that in spite of my sins. When I find myself in adversity, I say a little prayer. Sometimes I'm driving my car, going to court to a difficult case. I don't close my eyes, but I pray because I believe in God. That has been the story of my life. You meet adversity, and sometimes you feel helpless. And I have felt there has been fear. I'm only human. There has been fear. And I want to confess something to you now. At the height of my anxiety, I did something that I had not done since I was a child. I do pray from time to time because I believe in God and I believe in the power of prayer. But I did something 2 weeks ago that I had not done since I was a child. I was at home. In my fear, in my anxiety, I concealed myself in a room away from my wife and children. And I went on my knees in total submission to the Almighty in whom I believe. And I did what I did every night as a child, where my mother told us to kneel at the side of the bed and clasp your hands. Total submission, total deference, total respect, total love for God. I did that 2 weeks ago. And I believe that having done that has fortified me, has reminded me that today I do the right thing. I told the clerk a few minutes ago, I go to a parliament to sit and to stand alone, but I am not lonely. I believe that God is with me. And I believe that God has sent significant numbers of Barbadians into that parliament with me. That when my voice is heard in that parliament, it will not be my individual voice, but it will represent that collective voice of the people of this country who want this place restored, who want democracy restored in this country. I say to you, based on the sentiments that I'm hearing across this country, people are afraid, people are concerned for the loss of their right to express themselves as free people. My voice, I intend, will be a voice in defense of people who believe that they're losing their freedom, who believe that democracy is under threat. I will be alone in there, on that side, but I will not be lonely.
Mr. Thorne, are you open to calls by the DLP to join the party? Dr. Ronnie Yearwood would have mentioned that yesterday.
Yeah, I heard Mr. Yearwood last night. And look, I haven't come to play. I haven't come to this position to play games. The government is a specific entity. The party of the government is a specific entity. Except that the government will discover that they are a minority in this country. And I say to you that it is my duty to represent all the interests of persons in this country who are not supportive of the government. They are entitled to a voice. The short answer is this. I am willing to listen to every voice, every interest, every lobby group, every business group, every trade union. That is how I come to Parliament. At this point in time, I cannot find myself residing within narrow political concerns. To be honest with you, I believe I should join a party. I think so. Because if I want to secure a future in the politics of this country, if I want the people of this country to take me seriously, I think I should associate myself with a party. And therefore, I think within the fullness of time, and hopefully within short time, my association, my formal association, will be completed. But I cannot tell you if it will happen. That is not in my hands. I cannot break into a party. Yes, I cannot break in there. It has to be a process of application. I respect the parties. It has to be a process of application. It has to be a process of negotiation. And it has to consummate itself in my formal association with the party. Yes. So the answer I want to give you, yes, I want to be a member. I want to do my work within the safe confines of a political party. I want to do that. So I'm not going to come here and dance around the issue. I do want to do my work within the safe confines of a party.
And what are your constituents?
Yes. What about them? Now, I want to address my constituents and say to them that having regard to the peculiar circumstances that have visited me, leaving the Barbados Labour Party and leaving the government has not been simple departure. It has been an extrication from oppressive circumstances, hostile circumstances even, in which I have had to negotiate a way out. And I had to do it strategically. I had to do it skillfully. We all know that if I had gone and advertised, publicly advertised my intention, there would have been a response from the party. Everybody knows what they would have done. Let me spare a thought for Maria Agar, who found herself in a difficult situation a few years ago. And her situation was made all the more difficult because she was shoved out of an opposition party. And according to the structure of Parliament, you can't leave an opposition party and go on the government benches. The government has to embrace you, invite you, and make you a part of that government. And she found herself marooned by her peculiar circumstances. I know what I'm doing. And as quiet as I am and as dignified as I am not without strategic bent. And what I did, I had to do. I could not walk through Oystens, Dover, or Harmony Hall and knock on everybody's house and say, I'm leaving next week. You don't do it like that. Because there is a presence in the Barbados Labour Party, a very prominent presence in the Barbados Labour Party, of which people are afraid. So I had to do what I had to do in the way I had to do it. And I want to promise you that outside of this conference this morning, I intend to address my constituents. Barbadians are not unsophisticated. The people in Christchurch South and the people across Barbados understand my circumstances. They understand it. And they understood that I could not expose my activities to public scrutiny. I repeat, more than a simple departure, it was an extrication from oppressive circumstances, and I had to manage it in a way that protected my own safety. And I now want to focus less on my own political safety and focus on the political safety of those persons who elected me in 2018 and in 2022. They understand. And I want to tell you they understand, because if I showed you my cell phone, I have had WhatsApp messages from several people in Christchurch South. So that you will hear the noise. You will hear the planted voices that will speak about my decision. But I have done this in concert and in consultation, private consultation, after the fact, because they did not know beforehand. But knowing now, they have WhatsApped me, they have telephoned me. I want to pay tribute to a lady who followed me from the supermarket into the car park at Massey in Oystens. And she said, Mr. Thorne, I don't have my groceries yet, but I'm following you to tell you whatever you plan to do, when you plan to do it, you have my support. And I want to say she was the stranger who was most pivotal in this decision. She spoke to me sincerely. Our hearts met. I'm not going to identify her except to say her initials are EG and she lives in St. Philip. People like that fortified me. And I have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. I intend to go back into the constituency. I confess to you, I had absented myself for a while. And if you want the details of that, the reason I had absented myself for a number of months is because there was a powerful infiltration into Christchurch South against my political interests. And I say, give them time. Let them work. They cannot do it indefinitely. You cannot do mischief indefinitely. One of the facts of life is that wrongdoing has not a short life, but it has a life that is finite. And I say, let them do what they're doing.
Powerful
influences have been talking to people in my constituency over the last 2 years. Powerful influences have introduced alternate candidates into the constituency. This is known. This is known. Don't let us not pretend. And in those circumstances of infiltration and undermining, all of that adds to my alienation from the government. I'm embracing you in Parliament. You're pretending to be embracing me in Parliament. But on Monday, and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. You are in the constituency introducing alternates to the people of Christ Church South. That is a fact. But I don't want to make that the central focus of the reason for my departure. As I said, that may be the soap opera. I am more concerned with the horror story that has become life in Barbados. I am more concerned with the fact that this society and this economy is in crisis. I am more concerned with the fact that we are borrowing money to repay loans, and that the little children of this country who never did anybody any wrong will have to repay those loans. That we are condemning the future of this country to a life of crisis. We are telling our teenagers and our 20-year-olds that going, that emigration is now a better option for them. Do any of you understand that one of the main crises in this country is the crisis of a brain drain? That we are training young people in our high schools and in our universities, and they are departing from this country and looking for better places. I grew up in a Barbados that was a better place. I had faith in my country. I was loyal to my country, and I consider myself blessed. What can I say to a 15-year-old today? What can I say to a 20 or 25-year-old today who has lost faith in this country? All we can say to him is let us resist the present policies of this government, and let us give our young people a chance, if not for material prosperity, a chance to be faithful, a chance to have confidence in the future of this country.
There are several committees that have been languishing without an opposition for some time. The Public Accounts Committee comes readily to mind.
Yes.
What is the urgency to which you're going to be addressing those agencies?
Yes, and you identified the main agency, Public Accounts, Public Accounts Committee. And I suspect that Barbadians are focusing on that committee because Barbadians have lost confidence in the ability of the government to conduct itself with propriety. People believe that there's corruption in high places, and when I say high places, that there's corruption in government. And if people believe that, and if there's evidence of that, it is my duty urgently to constitute or to reconstitute the Public Accounts Committee so that the finances of this country, so that the people's money can be safeguarded, so that account can be given for it. It's called the Public Accounts Committee, so that government may account for the money that it took from people by way of taxes and is now spending arbitrarily and in a wild manner. I referred to the consultants earlier. Government is wasting a lot of money in this country, and we are wasting a lot of our citizens who are at risk, who are below the poverty line. They're wasting the money, and we are wasting the citizens of this country. And yes, I think the Public Accounts Committee, I will speak to the Clerk of Parliament, that is a priority. Restoring or reconstituting and certainly getting active that committee will be a priority.
Mr. Thorne, some political...
One last question.
Some political pundits say this is political suicide. What would you say to them?
Suicide? My own prospects cannot rank above the interests of this country. We will all die, since you mentioned suicide. We will all die. We will all die politically, and we will all die physically. But the priority is to ensure that this country lives for the sake of future generations.
Thank you
very much.
I'm sorry, fellas. I try a live thing and it didn't work out. I'm sorry. It was supposed to go live for Zoom, but it didn't work out because his audio would have come off.
But you just had to let it like on the radio. You could have still gone live, not with the video, but with audio.
Well, how you do that? Because his audio would have come over.
No, he was like, keep quiet while you were saying.
Alright, let me save this then.
You know what I mean? He just had to keep quiet and turn it to you. That should have gone live.
I didn't study that. Let me see. One, two, three, four. I go call him, man.